Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Grace. Everybody watching online and at Montrose as well. It's great to see you guys. If you folks looking for seats, I just remind everybody here at Gent Road that there is yet another location of the Bath campus over at Montrose. It's about 4 miles away, and everything that happens here happens there. Literally, the same bands rotate through. At the 9:30 service, we simulcast, and you'll see me on video on the screens. It's great because I'm larger in high definition, and you are welcome for all of that. This is not easy to keep up, so I do that as a gift to you. And then at 11:30, I go there live and teach there live, and of course the bands are back and forth, but it's a great place to go, great place to connect. It's Grace Church Bath Campus through and through. And there's seats and parking, and so we'd love to see you there. I'm excited for this series we're gonna jump into called Rooted, and I think the journey that we're gonna take here these next 10 weeks is gonna be absolutely exciting, and I think it can be life-changing for you. If you're not familiar with Rooted, Rooted is a 10-week process that we're gonna go through. There's a book that we're following, there's groups that we're getting into, and we're gonna kind of take this as a time to reset and re-energize and re-impassion our walk and our journey with Jesus. Rooted is not going to teach you, most of you, things that you've never heard before. The book is not magic. It's not gonna blow your mind. The sermons are not unbelievable where you're gonna be like, I never knew that they said that in the Hebrew. Like, that's not what it's gonna be. What it's gonna be is a pathway that you can engage that will bring about change, which will bring about spiritual maturity. Years ago, I was talking to a friend. He started coming to Grace, grew up in church, and had kind of done that his whole life, started coming to Grace, and he had an appointment in my office. And he walked in and he asked me a great question. He said, how come in the last year that I've been coming to Grace, I've learned less but changed more? Explain that to me. Why I know about the Bible, I've got all the education, I've got all the formal education, so I haven't learned anything I've never heard before, but why am I changing so much? And we had a great conversation about that, and the bottom line that I told him was this. I said, the reason that you're experiencing that is because spiritual growth is not knowledge. Spiritual growth is not religious practice. Spiritual growth is not like coming to church. That's not spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is life change. And as you let the word of God and the people of God and the mission of God actually bring about change in your life, you will grow spiritually and you will mature spiritually and your life will be altered. And all the promises of the scripture, all the blessings and all the purpose and all the life and all the mission and all the peace during hard times, all that stuff that God promises us comes into our life not because God is doing for us whatever we want him to do for us, but because we are doing for God whatever he called us to do for him. And when I get Christ's heart and Christ's mind, growth starts to happen, and all the energy and all the kind of the excitement and all even the trials that also produce joy in our life come in that process. So that's what Rooted is. Rooted is just a pathway. It's a way that you can be in a room, so to say, that Jesus is in too. And if you'll accept and allow him to take even simplistic things that maybe you've known before and apply them and amplify them in your life in a different way, you will see God do exciting things. So Rooted just allows that to happen. It allows you to connect to that. If you're not in a group already, we still have options for you. So the groups are overwhelmed with people, which is awesome. And if you didn't sign up yet, or you're like, this is my first time here, I'm hearing about it, we've created space. So for instance, I'm gonna teach a Rooted gathering on Sunday nights. If you're in a group already, you're not allowed to come to the Sunday night group. And if you do, we will find you and we will tase you and drag you out. So this is not so we can shift around. It's just so that nobody misses the opportunity. So we're starting some groups like that, starting some stuff online. What I want you to do, if you're not tied in yet, get back to the kiosk, get your book, get signed up, and we will find a way for you to be a part of this, because I think God is gonna use it in great, great ways. During Rooted, we're gonna show you some things. One of the things we're gonna show you is what we call the seven rhythms, or the seven spiritual disciplines. And these are things that allow that you start to practice that help you be in that room, so to say, where you can connect closely to Christ or not. And I just want to walk you through these. We're going to talk about them a ton over the next few weeks, but I just want to show them to you real quick. So these are seven rhythms of healthy relationship with God. We're going to talk about daily devotions. We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about repentance. We're going to talk about sacrificial giving. Talk about serving the community, sharing your story, and worship. And we're going to take these things and kind of put them into our lives or re-energize them in a special way. And these are the seven practices or rhythms or disciplines that help us stay close to God. What's fascinating is when you go all the way back into the New Testament, Acts chapter 2, where the church was birthed. We know the day the church started. It's called the day of Pentecost. And that's the day that Jesus started the church. And we know that those early believers, those very first Christians, started to practice these seven rhythms. They're woven all throughout Acts chapter 2. And we know that throughout the centuries of people following Jesus, that these seven rhythms, when they're applied, have been the vehicles or the platforms that have produced spiritual growth and spiritual maturity in people's lives. And so you're going to start hearing a ton about those. And you're going to start hearing us talk about that. The books that you're getting to go through Rooted will have those. Like, they have daily devotionals in them and times when you pray, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to practice these things in our groups and as a church family. And it's gonna be the disciplines that we want you to learn to pick up and then to drive into your life kind of as ongoing, consistent habits. And it will help you continue to walk with and stay close with Christ, right? Now, why is all this happening? So why do I want you to learn these seven rhythms? Why are we going through the whole thing with Rooted? What's the goal of it? So I'm gonna say the quiet part out loud, all right? What I wanna show you this weekend is I wanna show you where I hope that we go with Rooted, where I hope you go individually with Rooted. And then I wanna show you how to self-analyze where you're at right now so you kinda know where your starting point is so that you can get to this ultimate place. So we're gonna kinda begin with the end in mind, all right? So what is the end? What is my hope and our hope for you as you go through Rooted? What I hope for you and what I want for you is this. I want each of you to have a healthy, impactful, defining, and transformational relationship with Christ. That's what I want. I don't want you just to go to groups. I don't want to just like rally the church around in the new year. I don't want you just like make sure you guys are here every week. I want you to have a healthy, impactful, defining, and transformational relationship with Jesus Christ. I want Jesus to be the definer and the director of all things in your life. I want him to be your source of joy. I want him to be your source of strength. And I want his mission to be your life's work. That's what I want. And when you take all that together, what we call that is I want you to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, where you look and say, the thing in my life, the thing that makes me up, the thing that causes my decision-making, the thing that guides my relationships, my family, all of it, is that I'm a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And following Christ and knowing him and engaging the mission that he's laid out for my life individually and then us corporately is the thing that moves me and motivates me in all things in my life. And Rooted is a pathway, and it's a place where you can pick up these things. The seven rhythms are tools that you can use to amplify these things. But the place that I want you to be, the place that I pray for and hope for, and the reason we're doing this whole thing is so that you can look and say, I am fully devoted and I'm giving all of my life to Christ and he's defining every aspect of who I am. And that is what we would call a spiritually mature person, someone who has grown and kind of fully embraced their relationship with God. Now, what I want to do this weekend is I want to help you assess your spiritual maturity. And I want to do by looking at, we call them the four C's. We want to look at the four phases of spiritual growth. And as I walk you through this, you can look at it and you can say, well, I'm in phase 1, 2, 3, 4, or I used to be in 4, now I'm in 3. Like, you can self-analyze. You're not going to report this to me. There's no show of hands at the end of the service. But this is for you to understand those things so that if you're beginning with the end in mind, if I want to be here, I kind of need to know where my starting point is so that I embrace Rooted in the process kind of on that level. And I use the tools in those ways. So what is it? So when you look at a healthy spiritual journey, It has what I called phases of growth that you can look at. And these are kind of the natural progressions when I go from what the Bible would call spiritual infant to a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. What are these steps or these phases that I would go into in my life? Okay, so the first phase is this. The first phase is when I move from complacent to consumer. And what that means is I'm awakening to Jesus. I awaken him, and then I move from that to consuming the truth of who he is. I awaken to my need for Christ, Christ's love for me, and then it causes me to desire or to want to know all of him. There's something absolutely incredible that happens when I encounter the truth and the love of Jesus for the first time. It is mind-boggling, it is life-changing, and it alters me in every way. And everyone who's a follower of Christ has had that experience along the way, where we were complacent spiritually, and then we were awoken to who Christ is and what he is like. The Bible says, before I'm a follower of Jesus, the Bible uses all these metaphors. It says that I'm spiritually dead, I'm spiritually blind, I'm spiritually in prison, spiritually enslaved. I'm complacent to that. I either don't know or can't get to the place I need to be spiritually. Somewhere in the process of becoming a follower of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus or the story of Jesus interacted with you at that place of complacency or that place of being stuck. And when you heard the gospel of Jesus and it collided with the current state of your life, something sparked in your heart that said, I want what that is and I receive what that is. In Acts chapter 2, the apostle Peter is preaching. And he's telling everybody who's listening that Jesus is the Messiah, that he's the risen Son of God. He's just kind of laying out all that Jesus is. And the Bible says this, that as he was preaching, Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and the other apostles, what should we do? That piercing of the heart is the beginning of your spiritual journey. When you look as a child, as an adult, whenever it is, and say, I am spiritually dead and I am asking Jesus to resurrect me spiritually. I am spiritually lost and I'm asking Jesus to help me or allow me to be born again. My life is wiped out and I'm asking Christ to help me become a new creation. I want to start over and I want Jesus to change every aspect of who I am and what that's like. And it's like a shock to the system at first. Some of you have just gone through this. You're very new in your relationship with Jesus, and this is all very familiar to you. Some of you remember it, and for some of you, honestly, you've lost the wonder of it. But all of this happens to us, and it's this life-altering thing. I remember years ago, I was talking to a friend. He's actually with the Lord now. He's coming out of drugs and alcohol. Heidi and I befriended him and his wife, and I was just talking to him about who Christ is. His name was Randy, and I said, Randy, listen, Jesus can change you. He can free you. He can break the chains of addiction in your life. He can let you start your life over. The old can be gone. The new can come. Jesus washes your heart whiter than snow. He buries your sins at the bottom of the sea, throws them as far as the east is from the west, all these things that the Bible says. And my friend Randy looked at me. He said, are you telling me that I can start my life over? And I said, that's what I'm telling you. And he looked at me, and he goes, are you sure? And I said, I'm sure. He goes, you're sure? I said, Randy, I have literally staked my eternal soul on this. Like, if I'm wrong, I am super duper wrong, because I don't consider any other option besides who Christ is. If I'm wrong, then I'm leading all of us in a really bad direction right now. But it blew his mind. He's like, I thought I was trapped in my sin, dead in my sin, imprisoned by my past. It never even crossed his mind. But when he encountered the gospel, it pierced his heart and he was awakened and he began his spiritual journey. And when that happens, when I find out about Christ, the Bible says what happens is I start to long and I want to know more about Christ. And it's a wonderful thing. I find out that God will save me from my sin, and like there's all this other stuff. There's all these other ways that the gospel or the power of God affects my life, and it causes me to want to consume that like a consuming fire, like I want to eat it up. It feels like what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 15, when he says, when I discovered your words, I devoured them. They are my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God of heaven's armies. Jeremiah was like, I found this stuff and I just have to have more and more of it. And it's an exciting phase, and it's a powerful phase, and it's a transformational phase. And if you're in it right now, you know what I'm talking about. If you're a little bit removed from it, you remember it fondly. If you're far removed from it, the Bible says we need to capture it again. Because Christ changing your life and raising you from the dead spiritually is a truth that should never get old and dusty and stale in your life. It should blow your mind every day. And the first phase of our spiritual growth is just that. It's just waking up to that and being blown away by who God is and what he is like. So the first C is this idea that I move from complacent to consumer. Now the second phase of spiritual growth is this. The second phase of spiritual growth is when I move from consumer to connected. I move from consumer to connected. And what happens in this phase is I start to see myself as a part of the church, or what the Bible calls the body or the family or the bride of Christ. And I start to realize that there's other people who do this also. This is why one of the values at Grace Church is we share life together. Because following Jesus is never designed to be something that I do by myself. And one of the most fun things that happens when you awaken spiritually is you look around, you're like, oh, now I see all these other people that are awakened spiritually, and I can start to understand them. And one of the things that will happen in your spiritual journey, this happens at Grace, I just did it to you when I told you I wanted you to be a part of Rooted, is what happens when you become a follower of Christ and you start to become a part of the church, you start to be invited to a lot of things. Like, I invite you to be a part of Rooted. I invite you to be a part of a group. You get invited to be a part of social circles. You get invited into relationships. You get invited that other people start to want to invest in you and care about you and know you. And what that is that's you starting to become connected to the family of God. And you have friends and you serve together, and the church, the family of God, becomes the relational foundation of your life. Where you look and say, those are the people that I know, those are the people that know me, I love them in a unique way, and this is a new thing and a meaningful thing in my life. And the church starts to feel like a family, or it starts to feel like a fraternity. That there's a whole bunch of people who are interested in the exact same thing that I'm interested in. And a whole bunch of people who are pursuing the exact same thing that I'm pursuing in my life. And the people of God start to represent the love of God and teach each other the truth of God. And it's this powerful, life-changing thing that happens in our spiritual maturity. I like the way the Apostle Paul describes it. He's talking to some people who are just becoming followers of Jesus called Gentiles. He says this, he says, now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. And that's what starts to happen. Before you become a part of the church is weird. It's weird, we're weird. We can be honest about it. By the way, you don't have to amplify it, but we can just be honest about it, right? We do weird stuff. So we pray for each other. We get, name another group that gets together once a week and sings songs. Like, name another group that gets together once a week. See, we do weird stuff. We take communion, we give our money, we send missionaries. It's weird. And when you're on the outside of that family looking in, you're like, your family's weird. When you realize that it's a bunch of people who are all excited about what Jesus has done in their life, you look and you say, oh, now I see why you do those things. So on the outside of that, you feel like a stranger or an alien. But Paul says that's not who you are anymore. You're citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. And the second phase of spiritual growth is all of that realization kind of kicking in and all of that taking root. And it builds relationships and it builds involvement and it builds investment into you and you investing into other people. And like this beautiful, powerful cycle of spiritual growth and maturity starts to take root in your life. So I start off being complacent, kind of lost, and I move from that complacency to consuming. Like, I wanna know, tell me more, teach me more, show me. I move from a consumer to being connected. Like, I wanna know you, and I wanna know you guys, and I want you guys to know me. And the family of God, the spiritual entity of God called the church, starts to form and take a role in your life. The third phase of spiritual growth then is this. It's when I move from consumer to connected to committed. Consumer connected to committed. And I start to become committed to the mission of Christ, and I start to join in on that mission. I start to willingly participate in the mission, willingly sacrifice for the mission, and I start to make the mission the high priority of my life. I love the way that God starts to talk about this, because what he would say is this: as you mature spiritually, you move from being a receiver to a giver. You move from being a receiver to a giver. Everybody taught me everything. I went to all the classes. It was so great. They served coffee. They were nice. They watched the kids. They met my financial needs. And now as I was connected, I realized I'm a maturing part of the family. Now those things are coming out of me to other people who used to be like me, so that I can help them take the same journey. And we start to take the abilities and the resources that God has given you, and we start to invest them into the health of the spiritual family and into the furtherance of the gospel. But I'm doing that on purpose, and I'm doing that in a willing way. Again, the Apostle Paul helps to clarify this a little bit when he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, God has given us this task of reconciling people to him, and we are Christ's ambassadors. So when I move from this next step, when I move from connected to committed, I'm realizing and I'm looking, I'm saying, wait a minute, other people own that task and it impacted my life. That's how I found out about Jesus. That's where all of this connection investment came from. But as I mature spiritually, I look and say, now wait a minute, that task is mine. And I want to be a part of giving that to the people who I was. And I want to own the task of helping them to know who Christ is. I want to own the task of expressing Jesus' love to them in all of its forms. And I want them to know who he is. And I'm making those decisions. It's not just happening here and there. It's not random acts of kindness. It's a willing, purposeful sacrifice that I start to make. And it causes me to grow spiritually, and it helps me to know that I have grown spiritually. The fourth C is this then. I'm going to take this pathway where I go from a consumer to connected to committed, and then I'm going to move from committed to compelled, from committed to compelled. And when I'm compelled, what that means is that the mission of Jesus becomes the mission of my life. The mission of Jesus then becomes my identity, and I am compelled. I can't stop myself from telling about Jesus, loving like Jesus, and loving God's people the way that God loves his people, the church, and then proclaiming the message of Christ to all who need to hear it. Again, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 says it this way: for Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And that truth moves me, and it drives me, and it becomes the operating system of my life. And my identity is rooted in it. My identity is rooted in Christ alone, and he defines and directs every aspect of my life. He defines and directs my family, because I want my family to know and experience the love of Christ. He defines and directs my work, because I don't wanna just be the nice guy at work. I want the people that I work with, I see them, that the reason I work there is because Jesus loves them and he sent me to be a part of their lives. I'm compelled with my money, my goals, my identity, my beliefs. And because I'm compelled, I will give all, I will risk all, I will make all of my life subject to the calling and the truth and cause of Christ. And when I get to that compelled, so to say, phase, and I am looking and saying, it is Christ who drives me. It is Christ who defines me. It is Christ's work and mission and love and perspective and all of it that transforms me. When I get to that phase, what I'll start to realize is that that is what every follower of Jesus is called to. That is what it begins to look like to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. When I go from a consumer and I mature and I grow to connected, I love the body and the family and I invest in it, I move from connected to committed, and now I'm willingly a part of it. I own those tasks myself. I see myself as a part of it, and from committed to compelled. And when I hit that phase, I am embracing fully and I'm devoted fully to what Jesus calls every one of his followers to be. There's no concept in the Bible where some people are super Christians and other people serve the coffee. Where some people are on mission at work and other people are the nice people that pray for them while they do the work there. There's no version of that in the Bible. What the Bible would say is there's growth, and we all grow. We grow different ways, different stages, through different circumstances. But that full devotion where Christ and who he is and what he does is who I am and what I do is the end that we're shooting for. Rooted is a pathway to help you to get to that place. The seven rhythms are tools that help you to get to that place. But that place is where God has called us, and that place is why we're doing this, so that God can do that in your life and God can do that through all of us. Right? Now, the reason I'm showing you this weekend is so that you can self-evaluate. Where is your relationship with Christ? Here's the quiet part out loud. Ready? All healthy relationships grow. All healthy relationships grow. And if your relationship isn't growing, it's a sign of its unhealth. So if your marriage is not growing, your marriage isn't healthy. At best, it's stalled. At worst, you're in trouble. If your friendships are not growing and deepening, then your friendships are memory and they'll always be shallow. You'll always be talking about the Browns and how easily we are satisfied with barely winning the last two games with no quarterback, our coach got fired and our team still stinks. You're like, yay. That's always gonna be the conversation. Your role at work is always, I'll be the good employee, not the impactful one. I'll be the kind neighbor, not the salt and light in the neighborhood. So all healthy relationships grow. And if your relationship with God is not growing, then it's not a healthy relationship, and that needs to be evaluated and addressed. So if you look at the phases and you look and say, where am I at? So if you accepted Jesus like in the last year and you're in phase one, and you're like, listen, God forgave me, he changed me, my life is renewed, I just got baptized, it's incredible, I'm trying to learn the Bible a little bit, and you're in phase one, I would look at you and say, you are exactly where you need to be. That is so exciting, that is so fun, like it is so incredible all that God's doing in your life. And I'm like, if you're a year or so into that, I'm like, right, boom, you're on track. If you follow Jesus for 10 years, and you look at me and say, yeah, man, I gotta learn the Bible. I'm like, really? Yeah, I gotta make church a priority. I gotta get involved. Wow. 10 years in, and we're still not even connected or committed. Yeah, I need to start serving. You should evaluate that. You should be on, you don't report to me, but you should be honest about that. If it's 10 years in and your New Year's resolution is once again to start learning the Bible. And so you look at that, you're like, wait a minute, that's not healthy. Why isn't it healthy? And be honest with yourself. Right? Some of you would look and say, my passionate relationship with Jesus is a memory. I'm 30 years in. I remember when I used to be really excited about telling people about Christ, but I've regressed. And it doesn't matter how much Bible knowledge you have or how much church has become a routine in your life. if the passion for the lost and the passion for God's people is not compelling you, driving you, you should evaluate that. And you should ask yourself, like, honestly, between me and God, honestly, where am I spiritually? And what does that mean? Some of you may feel like you've arrived. By the way, I think that's the most dangerous place you can be spiritually. Like, I know the Bible, I've gone to all the studies, I can kind of fill in the blanks before Jeff starts. I show up at church every week. It's a little bit, I know, those young people, you know how they are. If you have a sense of arrival spiritually, you are in the most dangerous place you could be spiritually. Because a truly devoted follower of Jesus realizes that the more I pursue Christ, the more I know Christ, which means there's more of him to pursue. And if you've settled into a routine in your life spiritually, you've just become a well biblically educated religious person, as opposed to someone who is truly laying their life down and giving it away because they're compelled by the love of Christ. And these four phases, all I want you to do this weekend is look at them and say, okay, where am I actually? Where am I actually? And I wanna be honest about that. And as I start this spiritual journey, where do I need to go? Because nothing in that book is gonna blow your mind. Nothing in my teaching or Pastor Joe's teaching throughout this series is gonna blow your mind. That's not the way that this is. But it can absolutely fan the embers of your heart into a passionate flame. But you gotta be honest about where it is. And you've gotta let God meet you there and take you where he wants you to go, okay? So that's why we're doing Rooted. So that pathway exists. And I love what Paul says in Philippians. He says this, he says, I wanna press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. That high calling is that fully devoted follower. And what Paul says, he says this several ways throughout the New Testament. He says, I wanna press on toward that. In other words, what he's saying is this, spiritual growth does not happen by osmosis. You can't sit in church and just grow spiritually. You could sit in church and just sit in church. You can't listen to all kinds of podcasts and just grow spiritually. Listening to somebody else's spiritual growth does not necessarily produce spiritual growth in your life. And if you watch too much TikTok, you'll probably regress spiritually anyways. So spiritual growth is something that takes an effort or it takes an investment. So Paul says, I press on toward that mark, toward that high calling, toward that fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. So what he's saying is this, like an athlete who trains, or a soldier who drills, or a musician who rehearses, I'm gonna put the effort into knowing Christ. I'm gonna put the effort into being in the room, so to say, and being close, so that if I receive what God wants to teach me and show me, it will produce spiritual growth, which leads to spiritual maturity. That's why through Rooted, we're gonna focus on these seven rhythms. So this devotion, this prayer, the repentance, the sacrificial giving, the serving the community, the idea of sharing your story and of worship, all these are tools that you press on with. Your groups are meeting in a group with me and some of the pastors. Those are just tools or avenues that you press on with. The groups are the gym, these are the weights. And they're just providing an opportunity for you. But how you receive that and what you let God do in that of course is up to you. That's up to you. But if you look and say, where am I at with the four C's? Where are the phases? I just wanna be honest with myself about that. I need to grow, I'm not who I used to be, or I'm on step one and I need to keep moving through phase two. Then you can go to the gym, you can go to the groups, you can go to the church, you can go, that's what that is, that's the environment, and you can pick up these weights, and it is the workout, it is the process, it is the moving forward, it's the pressing on. And we're just taking those things and combining them and saying that God can use those in your life, he wants to use those in your life, and it's the tools or the pathway that you can follow to move to that point of being fully devoted. What I'm excited about with this is is that when you embrace these rhythms and when you, the Apostle Paul says, examine yourself, like when you evaluate yourself, that will impact you personally in a really big way. It'll free you and let you be born again perhaps and renew you and fan the embers into a flame, all this imagery that the Bible uses. But those efforts have an eternal payout. And the motivation behind why you would want to go and be a fully devoted follower of Jesus, it is personal and then it's bigger than that. But God can use it to change your life, change your family, change the people around you. If you'll do something as let him implant his word in you and nourish it and let it grow through things like the seven rhythms. Jesus has this really interesting parable that he tells in Matthew chapter 13, and he uses this farming illustration. And so he's talking about planting seeds. The seeds are the word of God. And Jesus says this, he says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across the field, some seeds fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil. And when the seeds sprouted up, because the soil was shallow, the sun killed it, starved them off. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. All the distractions of life choked out the life of the seed. And then he says this in verse 8. He says, still others fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. When you do the small things in your relationship with Christ, it's always gonna look like a seed. But if you will open your heart and open your mind and open your life, if you will press on, that seed can take root and you can nourish it and it will produce a crop, a harvest that is 30, 60, and even 100 times as great as what was planted in the first place. At Christmas time, we always have a dinner. So Heidi, my wife, is Brazilian. So our family's half Brazilian. And in Brazil, at Christmas Eve, you have like a Thanksgiving dinner late at night. It's a tradition. So that's been our tradition for years. And so all of our family's pretty much tied up in ministry some way. And so we come home on Christmas Eve. It's usually late at our house, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And we have this meal. Well, this year, Heidi decided we were having a meal. You know the difference, right? You know the difference when your mom puts food out and when she's like, we're having a meal, right? And when she says you're having a meal, everybody sits up straight a little bit. Like the real plates are coming out, the extensions for the table. You remember that? Like you have to go find them. Like we're sitting at the table. You gotta put the extensions in. So Heidi was like, we're having a meal this year. I'm like, okay. So the extension we're in, the plates are out. We get home, it's our immediate family, including Heidi's dad and his wife, Ann. And so kind of like her side of the family. So we sit down at the table and Heidi says, I wanna do something this year and I want all of you to participate. And she said, what I want us to do is I want us to go around to all of us, there's 15 of us, I want you to go around to all of us and I want you to talk about the three gifts that God has given you this year as we're eating, so go. So. It was wonderful. We received two granddaughters this year. So it was fun for all of us. The first two gifts were Psalm and Mia, like boom, done. And then everybody shared one more thing. And so we're going around and everybody's sharing and we started to tear up a little bit and cry. It was a very meaningful, powerful time. It was wonderful that she had us do this. Well, I go last. And so it gets to me and I'm like, Psalm and Mia. And then I'm like, everybody took all the other good stuff. Like, what am I thinking of here? And I kind of thought for a little bit, and I said, this is what I'm grateful for. And when I look around this table, and I look at our sons, and our daughter-in-laws, and our daughter, and Heidi, I said, what I see is I see a family that is devoted to Christ. And I said, I look around this table and I realize that from this table, just this year, literally, tens of thousands of people have heard the gospel. because of this table this year. And our sons and our daughter-in-laws and the kids sharing with their coworkers, the kids sharing on like at churches where they lead, and Heidi at the gym. I mean, and I'm like, man, it's just incredible. Like, just this table did that. And I was sitting there, and I said that, and I looked up at the other end of the table was Heidi's dad. And I said, Dad, that's all because of you. That's because of you. Heidi's dad grew up in upstate New York. He's a farm boy out in the sticks. Grew up in a town with very little opportunity. Town that ravaged by drugs and alcohol. To this day, that town is ravaged by drugs and alcohol. Dad's family was ravaged by alcohol. Dad was ravaged by alcohol. He'll tell a story of coming home so drunk he couldn't get up the stairs and just hearing his mom weep and pray for him. So Dad was just a mess. And somebody told him about Jesus. And when they told him about Jesus, it pierced his heart. He's like, what do I have to do? And Dad accepted Christ. His life was radically changed. And he started to just consume who Christ was and what Christ was about. My father-in-law is super smart. So he went to an engineering school in Texas. It was a Christian school there. And when he got to that engineering school, he got connected. He fell in with a bunch of buddies who were also Christians. He had never had a bunch of buddies who were Christians. And they're discipling him and teaching him things he didn't know and he didn't have access to, because the gospel isn't necessarily clear and accessible in his hometown. His buddies looked at him and said, hey, guess what we're doing for spring break? We're going on a missions trip. I'm not sure Dad knew what a missions trip was, but all these engineering students decided to go to Brazil to build a school for a Bible institute because they knew how to do that stuff. So they're like, you're coming with us. So he went with them. He's in Brazil. He's building a school for a Bible institute, and he meets this very pretty Brazilian girl. We call her Mom. Mom and Dad get married, and Dad looks and says, I feel like God wants me to do something. I have an engineering kind of path in front of me. He would have been very good at it. But I feel like I need to be committed to something more. So instead of going right into my next phase of life, I'm going to commit to go learn the Bible. So Dad committed. He went to seminary. And while he was in seminary, he became compelled. I have to give my life to this. So Dad and Mom went back to Brazil. They planted churches. Those churches are alive today. Thousands of people a year hear about the gospel of Jesus because of those churches. Dad spent his life in ministry. Dad is not a phenomenal speaker. He's not a guy that like takes over the room when he walks in. It's not who he is. But he'll love anybody and he'll tell everybody about Jesus. He shares his story and he loves his community. He doesn't resent it and he's not afraid of it. He lived his life that way. Mom and Dad had two kids. Heidi's one, and we're sitting around the table. My brother-in-law, Heidi's brother, Joe, is another. Joe leads a ministry. That ministry presents the gospel to about 10,000 people a week. I just looked at my father-in-law, and I'm like, Dad, this is you. Literally, from a drunk teenager who can't get up the steps, literally hundreds of thousands of people have heard about Christ, and hundreds of thousands more will. All of his children and all of his grandchildren follow Jesus. Now, ready? If I had Dad up here today and I was interviewing him and I said, Dad, how'd you do it? How did you live a life that literally alters the face of the planet? How did you do it? What he would do is he would look at me and he would say, All I was doing was following Jesus. I just wanted to know Christ, so I had devotions every day. I heard about this living God, so I started talking to him and hearing from him in prayer. I just dealt with my sin, my addictions, my anger, all the crap from my childhood. I just gave up my life. I just said, I just won't have that lifestyle. I'll have a missionary's income. I just love my neighbor. Every one of my father-in-law's neighbors has either for sure knows about Christ, and many of them have accepted Christ. He's like, because I live there. That's why I live there. He just tells his story. He just worships his God. Ready? And this seed produced a crop 30, 60, and even 100 times greater. You want your family to take a turn? Give God good soil to work with. You want your marriage to be different? Give God good soil to work with. You love your roommates and want them to follow Jesus? Give God good soil to work with. You want your life to make a difference? Give God good soil to work with. You want to be a different person? Give God good soil to work with. Put yourself in the room. Put yourself in the room where God is and receive from him what you want to receive and what he wants to give you. And my father-in-law is not this wham-bam guy. He's not the Bogue side of the family where we're like, where's the spotlight? Is it here? Is it here? That's not my father-in-law, right? He's a quiet, servant, godly man. And the only man that his children know is one who's a fully devoted follower of Jesus. The only man his grandchildren know is one who's a fully devoted follower of Jesus. And God took that little thing and changed everything. See how it works? I don't want you to read a book. I don't want you to be in a group. I don't want you to be consistent and going to church. That's not the motive. That's the tools. But I want you to be changed, empowered, driven, compelled by who Jesus is and his love for you and his love for the people around you. Does it make sense? All right. I'm going to ask the band to come out. And as they come out, I just want to remind you, like this kicks off this week. It'll be a blast, right? If you're not connected yet, the invitation's open and we want you to be. So go at the kiosk, or if you're watching online, do it through the QR code or do it through the website. We'll get you connected. And I think God's going to take us on a powerful and wonderful journey together. I think we're going to look back at it. I think you're going to look back at it and say that's when it took root in my life. That's when it re-energized in my life. And it'll be fun to do that together. Jesus, would you meet us here? Lord, would you meet us personally? And Lord, some of us are lost and we need you as a savior. Some of us are distracted and we need you as an anchor. All of us need you, God. And what you want to give, this abundant life that you want to give, is the richest stuff, the best stuff, the eternal stuff that you promise. So Lord, in these moments, as we open our hearts and we open our minds and we invite you to come in, Lord, we want to give you good soil. We want to nurture and we want to take advantage of what you want to do. So Jesus, in very personal and powerful ways, would you meet us in these places?